Sam, it is that time of the month again. Time for Geeking Out.
Our favorite time.
Our monthly podcast where we explore better living through the joy of hobbies. We are going to talk games. We're going to talk books. We're going to talk cooking. We're going to talk theater. We're going to talk sports. Sometimes we're going to talk about whatever it is that we're super, super, super excited about.
We
are going to talk about it. I am Mandy.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Cyrus.
All right, you guys, are you ready? Let's geek out.
Yeah. Woo! Welcome back, everyone, friends and family. So pleased that you are here with us yet again to join us in our journey of geeking out like crazy. Mm-hmm. We cannot wait to share with you what we're geeking out about. Such a wonderful show ahead of us. We're going to be talking about theater.
Theater. Which you spell with an R-E because we're fancy like
we're
that.
We're super fancy like that.
I've always preferred the R-E
yes.
over the E-R.
The theater. The theater. Of course, have our geeking out topic. Well, that being the geek. Then we have our individual topics where we want to talk about what we're personally really into right now. We have a wonderful letter from our mailbag, what we'll be discussing and sharing with you. And, of course,
Tom
Winsleydale.
I am so excited. I'm so excited about Tom. I'm always excited about Tom. It's a little bit, so Tom's bringing in a homebrew,
is that right?
So I feel like it's a little early in the morning for that, but by the time this airs, it'll be perfect.
No, it's fine. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, everywhere, right?
We'll make it work. We'll make it work.
Tom Winsleydale, Northfield's own Mad About Town, will be sharing with us his passion of home brewing, to which we actually know quite a few folks here in town.
We do.
About home brewing.
Indeed.
Yeah, he has several varieties he would like us to try on the air that he says, and I quote, capture the flavor and excitement of spring right around the corner.
That Tom, he's so eloquent.
It is. Such a nice guy. I understand there's a large, there's a lager honey with just a hint of floral flavors.
Yeah.
And a sour, absolutely going to be enjoyed.
That's all me.
Sourced with Minnesota-owned honey.
Yeah, yep. That sounds amazing.
Fascinating stuff. All right.
I was told there would be a dunkel.
Yeah, you get that at our local brewery here.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
Have you had it yet?
The dunkel?
Yes.
I have not had this batch. I've had a previous batch, and it's one of my favorite beers.
Oh, no. Definitely go to Munich Dunkel. They do a good job.
Yeah.
Over
it. Yeah,
they
yeah,
do
yeah.
a really great job.
They do.
All right.
Not as good as the Rico's Brown Ale, mind you.
Yes.
Doesn't quite know. You had your own beer.
It's like being put in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for us to get a beer.
One of these days.
We're there a lot. So one day.
All right. So let's first get into what we're really geeking out about before we dive into our larger topic. Mandy, ladies first, always.
All right.
What are you geeking out about, babe?
So I love romance novels. It's one of my favorite genres to read. They're like popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of really serious stuff in my day-to-day life. So when I read for fun, I almost always try to pick a book or a series that's light and fun and funny. I love historic fiction. I love fantasy, but I also really love romance novels. Mm-hmm. And I just recently found a romance novel series that I'm super geeking out about. I read all three of them probably in the span of about 2 or 3 weeks, all three books. So it's very exciting. So the series is called Big Love from Galway. The author is Laura Moyer, which I may not be pronouncing correctly. She lives up in the cities, so mm-hmm. she's a local author. There's three books in the series. They're called Curves for Days, What She's Having, and Hard to Get. And the thing I really loved about this series, really great character development, really fun. There were some romance novels tend to have. Do either of you read romance novels?
I have not read one in a very long time.
I have not read one.
Okay. So romance novels tend to have tropes. So it's like enemies to lovers mm-hmm. or like where you're stuck in a cabin and then they end up falling in love or mm-hmm. high school sweethearts that have fallen apart and are coming back together, that sort of thing. So a lot of romance novels will follow these same tropes.
Very formulaic.
A little formulaic, but I kind of love that because, again, this is my escape. I'm relaxing. I don't want to have to work too hard for my book.
This is why I like the Hallmark movies. I mean, they're all just
just, you know what's going to happen.
Just horrible. So just horrible films. But you always know what you're getting.
You know what you're
everything
getting.
Everything. Exactly. You always feel good about it.
So one of the things I really loved about this book series is that for all three books, the main female character is curvy. So I'm not a small woman. I am 5'11". I have curves for days.
Yes, you do.
And so I love reading. I love reading books where the main character looks like me, mm-hmm. because a lot of romance novels you read, as these little petite skinny ladies are the main characters, which is great and that's amazing. But I loved reading books where people are falling in love and having these adventures and all of this stuff is happening, and there are people that look like me.
Sure.
So I just really great series. Wonder, like I said, I read all three books in about 3 weeks, which is a pretty fast read. Really fun, really amazing. I got my books at Content, so they have them available, or can order them in for you. And I just love them. I'm sharing them with friends and family, and so highly recommend. That's my geeking out topic.
I love the fact that you're able to find a romance book where it allows you to even connect more with the characters. As you said, I mean, these are all just fantasy characters anyway in these romance books, but to be able to actually see yourself in a place with a person going over, it just makes the story so much more interesting and connected.
And in two romance novels in general, the genre has really expanded over the last many years. So you can find a romance novel with pretty much any topic for the main character. So you can find LGBTQ romance novels. You can find romance novels with Native Americans. You could find romance novels with all sorts of colors of skin. Like anything that you identify as, you can find a romance novel that has that person as the main character.
Wow.
You just got to look for them.
It goes even further. I don't know what we're doing. This is several years ago. You, the girls, and I were over in the Mall of America. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what I was doing in the Mall of America. I avoid that place like the plague.
Yeah, we don't go there very often. But I went into Barnes & Noble to kill some time. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I decided to go over to the romance section because you were talking my ear off about something, I'm sure, about romance. And so I went in there, and one of the folks who worked there came by and said, "Can I help you find something?" It's like, "I have no idea what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at this, fridge." It's like, "Well, what are you interested in?" I was like, "Well, I guess romance in general." Well, vampires, dinosaurs, future, just the standard man and man, girl and girl, man and woman. And I had no idea there was all these different.
Yeah, so many.
So after she went through all that, I had to go back and say, "I'm sorry, tell me more about dinosaurs." So it turns out there's this whole little subgenre of romance where people are getting romantically involved in strange little tangles with dinosaur people? I don't know. It's really weird. A little weird, but hey, okay. I love it.
Like romanticy is a legit thing where it's a romance fantasy. Mm-hmm. So like the Empyrean series, which is Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Onyx Storm, that sort of stuff. They're very popular right now. That's romanticy, which is, so it's got some fantasy elements, but some very good romance elements too. So check it out. Gentlemen should both read a romance novel.
I want to know if there's like geeks in love.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Very much so.
Yeah, I could probably
recommend a couple of them.
It's a very short book because they're private people. Say,
not a lot of dialogue, is there?
You guys.
They looked across the room into her eyes. She quickly looked away. Three weeks later, they bumped into each other.
All right, geek. You go on.
I want to talk about this yet because my particular topic actually feeds very well into our larger topic. I want to hear more from Rich.
Okay.
Rich, real fast before you go into great detail about all this, what has been the journey in the last 2-3 months?
And why I want to talk about this too is because the last month, at my every waking moment, frankly, for the last almost 3 months, my every waking moment, because the situation has been keeping me awake at night. Okay. We have, as you probably have guessed, because we're a radio station, we own a radio tower.
Yes.
This tower suddenly fell into some disrepair. The tension wires that hold all radio towers up, you need those. They're very important. Mm-hmm. One of ours snapped.
Oh, dear.
And we did a little, we brought in the tower doctor, and he diagnosed the fact that, it snapped because it was windy, it was cold, And because your guy wires is what they call them, are 56 years old.
Ooh. Oh boy.
And if one snaps, then they're all mm-hmm. going to mm-hmm. snap at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we have to, as they put it, re-guy the tower. We have to replace all of those tension wires. This is not an inexpensive venture.
Mm-hmm. It's probably not something you just do on a Saturday.
We're actually going to be off the air for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That actually doesn't, yeah. That's really short.
Well, it is, actually, especially because we're going to still be able to do the morning show and, hopefully the Twins games are at night. So we'll mm-hmm. be, you know, but like in between, we will be off the air.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to cost upwards of $30,000 to do this. That's not in my budget. Not even a little bit.
That's a lot of bake sales.
So, I was panicking. I've owned the station for, 6 months.
Yeah.
It was a very short turnaround.
And that my tower is going to collapse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do? The only thing to do, there was only one thing to do. We actually came to the community.
Mm-hmm.
We put together a GoFundMe campaign and we got the money. We hit our goal. The amount of support that we received from this campaign, I don't want to sound like I'm surprised by the generosity of this community, but it boggles my mind.
Right.
Like it is, I'm not surprised by the generosity of this community, except that the amount of generosity that we received from this community is insane.
And quick.
We did this in a month.
Right.
Yeah.
We did it in a month.
Yeah.
And it was one of the crazier things is now we got, I would say about 10 high buck donations, right? It 10 like four figure donations.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. And I can't thank those people enough, but we had over 300 donations.
Wow.
And most of them were $50, $100, $250. I got a couple of them that were $7, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel a little bit like Bernie Sanders, there's something to be, there's something really cool about the fact that we raised $35,000 because people kept handing us $20 bills.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's so amazing. I actually talked with my tower crew yesterday. They had given me a quote. And now there are tariffs, or maybe there might be tariffs. So they have
stay
to
stay tuned.
They have to requote me. But I'm not going to ask for any more money. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. We're fine. I hope to have this actually fixed in May.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
It is unbelievable. And I am geeking the hell out over this. I just, you guys, it's one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. And I just, while I have the opportunity, I want to thank you, Mandy. I want to thank you, Cyrus, both for the support that you gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to do, Mandy bought a week's worth of songs of the day on the morning show, which is going
to
be
with
super
fun. With
a
caveat, I wanted to actually be on the air to introduce my songs. So.
You get to do that.
I get to do it.
Every morning at 6:30, you get to do that. I'm going to actually have to give you a key card or something so you get because the building doesn't unlock until 7.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
So thanks to you guys. Thanks to everybody, every single person who went out of their way to give us some support, whether that was a donation or some word of mouth. Laura Myers and Derek Myers were unbelievable.
Beautiful.
They let us use their facility for a fundraiser. Lindsay Ness and Jake over at the Grand let us use their facility for something. Vicky Scott at Verbena Vinyl. Mrs. Moxie, my partner on the morning show, Ryan Foley, all these people. And that's just to name a few off the top of my head.
Yeah. I mean,
it's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
What I really liked about this journey that really resonated with me is that Northfield's got a small town kind of feel. It's not small. I don't think Northfield's that small. But you don't really realize how many different ways you're connected with people around you in the community until unfortunately, there's some sort of, we need to rally about this. Right. Now, thank goodness, no one's life was on the line. No one was hurt. But there was a real cornerstone of our community, this radio station, which has been around for many, many years. Everyone came out of the woodwork to help you out. Yeah. And they was able to see all these different folks that I knew, you know, from different places. But it turns out we were all connected underneath this one idea. It was beautiful, beautiful.
I'll tell you a really quick story that sort of brings that all home to me. We got some media attention, which I was not expecting at all. But my former intern put together. I actually had a newsroom intern for one summer.
Ooh,
she's absolutely amazing. She went off. She's going to graduate now from the University of Maryland Journalism School next month. I'm so proud of her. Anyway, she wrote up a little press release. And sent it out.
That's amazing.
Right? From Maryland, by the way, she did that. And we got, WCCO came down and interviewed us. The Star Tribune came over and did a story too. And the Star Tribune reporter asked me a question that absolutely dumbfounded me. He asked me, what kind of a hole would be left in this town without KYMN radio? And I couldn't even answer it.
No, it would be like, a crater.
I don't even, I mean, the words, I mean, I obviously I own the station, so I'm pretty proud of it, and I think it's important, right? Mm-hmm. But I put myself back before I ever even worked here, right? And I got my news from KYMN. I got it from Terry Knight. And it was how I felt connected to a lot of the town when I wasn't standing behind a bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So I anyway, thank you all.
Yay.
Thank you all.
That's an awesome thing to geek out about.
It is.
It's just cool. Beautiful. Will there be a ribbon cutting ceremony?
There will be. I hope you guys like ice cream. That's all I have to say for now.
Okay.
All right. Well, excellent.
Also, do you have any plans on the 4th of July?
Well,
no.
I don't.
Then keep your calendar open.
Okay. All right. Very good. Oh, so more info to come from there. Well, that's wonderful. And again, thank you from everyone here geeking out across Northfield, and everyone else who's listening to the podcast could not have done it without you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Everyone dry your eyes. We're going to move on here. Yeah. Something else. Okay. My geeking out topic is small press, one-shot role-playing games. Now, a little not probably surprising, I did a lot of role-playing when I was a kid and as a teenager. Consequently, I started dating a little late, but that's fine.
You're fine.
That's fine.
It all worked out.
It all worked out.
You ended up finding me in the end.
All worked out. Things I love so much about role-playing is the same things that I like about when acting. You get to be somebody else for some short amount of time. You get to develop stories with other folks. There's problem solving. There's communication. There's the ability to try to cooperatively figure things out in this wonderful story that you're just not hearing, but you are participating in, and you get to guide. There's a big problem, though, with role-playing games. Most of the time, they come with many, many different rule books, will require you to spend an exorbitant amount of time learning the rules, and will also require you to come together again and again and again, especially referred to as campaigns.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I have a workmate that plays Dungeons and Dragons with his high school buddies, and they play every week. And I was chatting with him about it because of something we're doing at an all-staff meeting coming up here. He's the DM.
Mm-hmm. Dungeon Master.
And they are 2 years into a campaign.
Oh my God.
2 years. Every weekend for 2 years.
Wow.
And they still haven't finished the story. oof. That sounds amazing, but also oof.
Yeah.
It's a commitment. And then the people that you're with, you get to live two different lives. Mm-hmm. The one that everyone is here at the table talking, and then they go off to their friends and family, and then... Mm-hmm. The elves and the dwarves and, and there's so many different genres. You can do
the orcs.
The orcs. The science fiction, the fantasy, horror. There's every single category you can think of. So that's the stage for the big role-playing games. A lot to jump into. Mm. There's a smaller group, so the small press being a lot of little independent folks, which I always support. But they make what is referred to as one-shots. Mm-hmm. And these are very small rule set. The entire world, the entire setting is in one book. I brought three here to discuss with
Cyrus brought visual aids.
We're getting that a lot lately, actually.
Well, I have visual aids for later, too.
Well, okay. I just want to make sure everyone understands and remember. Go back to the last episode and understand how much grief I got. Because I did bring in
You did.
Ridiculous. Cried in my wee pillow later that night. So these are intended to be sitting down with friends that that you know, family members, kids, you know, anyone that you want. Everyone has a very small little set of rules, and you just invest in the story. And it takes anywhere between 1, 2, or 3 hours, but not intended to move anywhere past that. So we're going to talk about three different genres. The first one I want to talk about is called Fiasco. This is one where it's set where, think of it like Reservoir Dogs, really, with the film. Mm-hmm. Okay, in Reservoir Dogs, they just pull off this heist. They're all coming back, and now they're trying to figure out what needs to happen. Also, like Fargo, you play as an individual in this gang, and you have to figure out how you're going to get as much money as possible, try to blame other people, have other people knock them out, so you can be the final one to have all the money. All right. You get to role play as these different people, and so that's a very small rule set. Very little dice that you need to use. All the information that you need in there. So it's got that very kind of gritty feel to it. And everyone's pointing their guns at everyone else.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. A lot of fun at conventions. A lot of fun, especially when you know everyone else. So that's a good one. Next one I want to talk about is called Don't Walk in Winter Wood, where the setting is set in the 17th and 18th century somewhere in America. Ooh. You're in a village, and the village is surrounded by this dark wood. And then you have to go as villagers into the wood to either find lost sheep or maybe there's a missing children. You don't know. There's this very dark wood. And what's interesting with this one is that everyone gets a coin. And the first time you get the coin, that means you're starting to get chilly. Because there's some sort of horror. Yeah. You know, the next one, it flips over. Now you're really, really cold, and you don't want that coin to be taken away from you. So it's the idea is that you're purposely trying to figure out how to walk through the woods without being terrified.
I've yet to figure that out.
By yeah. How does that work? You know, all the woods around here, but it has a very mysterious, dark kind of Cthulhu Lovecraft type of feel to it. A lot of fun, especially around Halloween, October time frame. Last one I want to talk about is called Forsooth.
Forsooth.
Forsooth. Forsooth.
This is a role playing game with Shakespearean proportions. You act as different, you're actors in a Shakespearean play.
Okay.
And everyone goes around the table, and they're all participating in the story. And the idea is that you're supposed to speak as best you can, like a Shakespearean play, right?
Yeah,
which is, can be kind of nonsense at times. Yep. And everyone has certain characters that they get right off the bat, and you have to figure out how to navigate through everyone's adding and subtracting from the story. Figuring out how do I get there to the end. We're at the end. I'm the hero.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right. So those are three great examples of different ways to role play that doesn't have the traditional sword, slashing, roll, 20-sided dice, have character sheets. Really just intended to sit down. Here's a very quick, easy-to-follow rule set. Let's jump in and go.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Highly recommend it for those who are interested in role-playing games but don't necessarily want to spend the time and energy learning all the rule sets or investing heavily in all the game manuals. This is just a book. This thing cost, $20?
Yeah.
$20. Yeah. And you got the whole thing there. And a lot of it's all about imagination, writing things down. Yeah. So there you go.
Very cool, Si. That's awesome.
All right. That is some excellent stuff. Let's jump now. From our geeking out into our geek topic, and I thought that was a nice little transition.
It's a very good lead-in.
Forsooth being Shakespeare plays. What is the big one?
So this month we are geeking out about theater. So I think all three of us are theater nerds.
Yes,
all three of us 100%. Are. So we are fully admitting of that.
Did we all do the high school plays? Maybe a few college.
Fun side note.
Yeah.
Mandy and I were in the same play.
Not at the same
time.
We didn't meet until we were in our 40s.
Right. Yeah. Called The Trial of the Big Bad Wolf.
No way.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's
hilarious. I was one of the three little pigs.
She was one of the three, and I was the big bad wolf.
Of course you were.
I did mine in elementary school.
Mine was elementary,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so elementary.
That's hilarious.
So both of us have been doing theater since elementary school. Mm-hmm. We did high school plays. We did college plays. I even did some shows in medical school. I've done theater here in the community theater before I had kids and kind of needed to take a break because momming takes priority.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it does. And it's hard to be in rehearsal all evening when you need to be home making dinner and putting kids to bed.
Right. And we also did nationals that thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or was that just me?
I did state. I went in Texas. So theater is very competitive in Texas.
It's highly
Imagine that.
Huh.
And our one-act version of Romeo and Juliet went to state.
Nice.
I was the nurse.
Nice.
So. Yep. Yeah,
mine went to state as well. It was called Mike's Case. It was your typical high school
Yep.
Drama.
Yep.
Over the top.
Yep.
Dark.
Yep.
Moody kind of thing. But it went to state, so that was fantastic.
Mine went to state also. It was called Voices from the High School, and it was all those things.
All those things. All those things.
Fun. So we thought we would talk about theater because it's something all three of us love and geek out about and get really excited about. And I thought it would be a good thing to do. So I kind of want to go from super local, kind of spreading it out a little bit more into greater Minnesota. We're going to kind of stay in Minnesota because that's where we are. So we're going to go super local to start. The high school and the middle school both put on plays every year. I know, well, the middle school took a few year break, but they had a show this February.
Yep, February.
Which was a retelling of Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
It was a middle school play and everything that comes with a middle school play, but it was really good. Our daughter was involved in some of the tech aspects of it. Great. So, and then the high school's done, I can't remember what shows they did off the top of my head, but the high school does shows every year too. So, and the kids do a great job. So it's always good. You can check out the middle school and high school websites, the your local school district website, both for Northfield or any, whatever community you live in, I'm sure has high school and middle school plays. So check that out.
Can I just interject something real quick? Not for nothing. The guy who has sort of been Mr. Theater for the Northfield School District. Bob Gregory Bjorklund.
We know him well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we know Bob.
I don't know him hardly. I've met him a few times, but I don't really know him. Was just given the Northfield Living Treasure Award.
Yes. And well deserved.
And I just want to say well done, Northfield, and thank you, Mr. Bob Gregory.
Bob goes to our church.
So Emma, who is our youngest, and I are doing, we do dramatic interpretations of the scripture occasionally. Mm-hmm. Bob usually writes them. And so Emma and I are performing interpretation for Palm Sunday on Sunday.
Oh, so fantastic.
Just the two of us. Oh, so it's going to be
very loud around the house.
It's going to be very loud. Yeah, that's awesome. Very loud. Emma and I are rehearsing. So, but anyway, so the first thing, like super local, I want to talk about, check out your local high school, middle school theater productions. They are not professional. They're not supposed to be. But these kids are so excited and passionate about what they're doing.
They love it.
They love it. And so just going and supporting the youth and supporting kids to get into theater, which I think is such an amazing, it's a great social network.
It's
so
a huge social network. Yeah.
So theater kids tend to, and again, all three of us were theater kids, but theater kids are fun. They're funny. They're really accepting generally. Mm-hmm. Like the theater community is very accepting of everybody, which I love.
Because we tend to be weird.
We are weird and we love our weird.
We do.
And we embrace our weird.
We do. Exactly.
So go support your local schools putting on productions. That's amazing stuff. The next, kind of going out a little bit, community education. So the community ed, our Northfield has a community ed brochure that comes out once a quarter. We just got the summer brochure just in the mail the other day.
Most towns have this.
Your
other organizations.
But most towns don't have something as deep.
Yeah.
As what is offered in Northfield Community Education.
The topics in this thing are crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
Man. It's insane. It is.
We have a really good community ed. Yeah. I have the, for those that can't see it, which is all of you, I have the actual brochure. I brought my visual aids too. So, but within this, there are multiple theater opportunities for kids this summer. So the Northfield Arts Guild is doing a young people's theater workshop. Where you will create, perform an original production with local guild theater artists. So this is for kids. There's two different age ranges, so 3rd to 6th grade, and then 7th to 12th grade. And they will go from they will write it, they staff it, they direct it, they do all the tech for it, and then they put it on. And I think it's 2 weeks total. So that's you can get involved in all aspects of that. So that's coming up. Storybook theater. Have you heard about storybook theater?
I don't think I have.
Okay. Cyrus and I know it well because Emma's involved in it. So with storybook theater, it's a traveling company. They do storybook theaters all throughout the Twin Cities and then down here a little bit as well. We're actually a little out of their range, but they love Northfield so much that they purposely come here.
Wow, that's cool.
Because we have such a good community. So they go from nothing to a full production in 5 days. So they cast on Monday, Everybody learns their lines, and then their first performance is Friday evening, yeah. and they perform Friday and Saturday.
My daughters went through that with a group called Prairie Fire Theater.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Similar very, stuff. Yeah, yeah. Similar
very,
concept.
Very similar.
But great, great opportunity to do theater. And they have they take everybody from, I think, six years old to 17-year-old.
Awesome.
Some kids will have no lines at all. Some kids have a few lines or group lines, all the way up to, like, you have a whole
lead
lot of
character.
Lines for the
yeah,
show.
Right.
And so it's really fun. And it's always a fun twist on a fairy tale or a traditional story. So Emma has done the Goldilocks. Where Goldilocks gets put on trial for breaking and entering and eating someone's porridge, which
yes,
was the biggest
right.
crime of all. She did Midsummer Night.
Yep.
The take on that. She
wow.
just did Little Mermaid.
Nice.
And then this summer's production is Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, fantastic.
But again, kind of a fun little twist on it. The kids love it. Emma loves it.
Mm.
And it's really fun to see how they do a really great job of getting the kids organized and doing all the stuff they need to do. So awesome opportunity there either to do it or to go see it, either one. And it's very family friendly. So if you have littles and you want to go see a show, it's a 90-minute show. It's kind of a one shot and really great opportunity.
Cool.
So much energy.
Yeah.
So much energy,
which is amazing.
Every kiddo who is in that, as you mentioned, gets to do something.
Yep.
So they're all very much already invested in it. And you could see it in their way that they're acting with their body, how they deliver their lines. Everyone has huge smiles.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Very, very
great
well
way
done.
To get involved.
That's awesome.
There's also a Drama Lab summer camp, which is a kind of more of you're kind of working on different theater stuff that you would do in theater. So like it's working on improv, it's working on characterization, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So that's not a play at the end of it, but that's also available in community education. So that's just a few things that I just have right up in front of me right now. So check out your local community theater or your local community education, because there's lots of great opportunities to get involved and then also to go see a cool show.
Oh, yeah.
Northfield Art Barn is another option. Do you know about Northfield Art Barn?
Not enough.
I just found out about it this year. So they are... they do art and they do theater. It's summer camps. They're out a little bit out of town. Just, you know where they're a little out of town. If you Google it, you'll find it.
Just so everyone knows here, because, you know, it's radio. Maddie just spent an exorbitant amount of time with her hand up in the
pointing.
Air,
yep.
waving.
It's over there.
In the corner of the recording studio.
If you spend any time at all on this radio station, you're going to see people gesticulating wildly
yeah,
all the time.
Crazy.
Anyway,
a lot of head movement.
So Northfield Art Barn has a couple of art camps this summer, where it's just you go for a week and you're doing a bunch of art creation stuff. They also have two theater camp opportunities. One of them, they're doing Sleeping Beauty, and that's just theater. There's no art component to it, so it's just theater. But again, similar idea that they will go from casting to a show in like 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 4-hour every day, and they really kind of put it on. And there's opportunities for both acting and tech folks. So we have one kid that loves to be on stage and one kid that wants to be off stage.
Got it, right.
But Maggie loves tech. Our oldest is our offstage girl,
yeah.
but she loves the
yeah.
tech part.
Yeah.
So there's opportunities for both with Northfield Art Barn. And then they have another camp later in the summer that's both art and theater combined. So they will put on a play and it's going to be Wizard of Oz. They are also going to have guided art activities
mm-hmm.
and free art activities every day. So free art, you're given a bucket of stuff and said, make something with it,
yeah.
which I think is amazing. So check out Northfield Art Barn. Also very, very cool. Other opportunities, the Northfield Arts Guild Theater
yeah.
has...
Or just any local.
Any local community
yep.
theater. The NAG Theater is particularly... close to my heart because I've been in many of their shows,
right.
not in a long time, but they just closed Glass Menagerie,
yes.
which was very, very good, I hear.
A favorite of yours?
I love that play. Of the Tennessee Williams plays, that's my favorite.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a good one.
It's a nice one.
It's a good one. And then this summer they're doing Shakespeare in Love and then a theater version of Flora and Ulysses. Flora and Ulysses, if you don't know, is a Kate DiCamillo story, but they've turned it into a play. Both awesome opportunities. You can go see the shows, of course, which is amazing, but there's also audition opportunities, and I don't know off the top of my head when their auditions are or if they're open or closed, but you can generally go to that entity's website, and there'll be information about audition. When do you audition? What do you need to bring for auditions? That sort of thing. What are they looking for?
They're usually seasonal. So if you want to do something in the spring, start looking in the winter.
Right, yeah, because they audition, and then you have to usually rehearse for like 6 weeks before.
You can't decide, I'd like to be in a play next week.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Exactly.
So our local community theater is the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. We love it. It's amazing. But check out your own community arts.
Absolutely.
Your community art theater. With that in mind, the Paradise Theater, which is the community theater in Faribault, is performing Assassins and Cinderella this summer. So that's another one to look at.
Please tell me that's the name of the entire play.
Wouldn't that
Assassins
be awesome?
Assassins and Cinderella. Cinderella. That would be incredible.
Two separate plays.
It would just be incredible. All my money on Cinderella.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Great book. Yeah. Have you read it?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's a fun book.
I've read the Abraham Lincoln and Zombies one.
That's also very good. Book. Oh no, we got another geek topic.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another one that's a little also community theater, but a little bit further. It's not in Northfield, so a little bit out of town. But again, check out your local community theater because there's always great opportunities, always cool stuff to go see. You can audition to be in a show. You can go see a show. Check it out. It's amazing.
Like I said, you're doing a really great job of going micro to macro here.
I know. I worked on this. This is what I do in between patients when I'm at work.
Good work.
And then a little bit even further out in Minnesota here, the Guthrie, which is our big theater.
And while we definitely give a lot of love to the Guthrie, there are so many other
theater so places. Many. Yeah. Up in the Twin Cities area, mixed blood, so much cool.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
just great
so
stuff.
Many.
Yeah.
So you could just Google theater in
is
the Twin Cities.
Is still a thing? I don't know.
So lots of great theater in the Twin Cities. Yeah. The Guthrie is the one that I know about because we're going to go see a bunch of there. We actually got season tickets this year.
Nice.
I know they had a great package where you could get. You had to buy at least 10 tickets, but you could spread it out on however you wanted. You could get however, like, I could get 10 tickets to one show. I could get 2 tickets to 5 shows. I could get whatever you wanted to do.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
It was really cool. And it was like a fixed price, but you get best of house seating. So the sooner you get your tickets. So we got like $150, $200 seats for $70.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And they were great seats.
Yeah.
Great seats.
Yeah. So...
I got to talk to you guys off mic about something because, okay.
Yeah, so if there's a bunch of shows you want to go see, or you have a bunch of people,
it was a great option
for it.
That's super cool.
We went and saw Midsummer Night's Dream.
Wonderful production.
With the girls.
Super cool production.
In, what was it, February or March, something like
February.
That.
February.
And then we're going to go see Mousetrap, which is performing now. It's available now. We're going to go see it in May. But it's available now. So again, that's a great Agatha Christie play. Rich, you had a story about
that. Don't give away anything.
I'm not going to.
Rich has a story about it, but he's not
going
to give away any of the plot because I don't know anything about it.
Okay, I'm going to try to tell the story in about 2 minutes. I'm not sure if I can squish it in that much. You guys are familiar with the concept of J-term or interim at St. Olaf College.
Okay. Yes.
When I was a sophomore at St. Olaf, I did theater in London for J-term, right?
Yes. Okay.
We went to London. We saw 31 plays in 30 days.
Good Lord.
And it was fantastic. It was awesome. We got to see... like the full War of the Roses thing in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Oh my God, so cool.
But we were also required to find like 3 shows on our own and go see them. And I went to see The Mousetrap in London, and which is the longest running play in West End history. And I believe it's still running to this day. And this was 36 years ago.
Wow.
And by that time it had already been, I think the thing has been running for like 60 years.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. So I went to see The Mousetrap and I loved it. I thought it was really fun. It was, we'd seen a lot of heavy theater, a lot of really, and this was popcorn. It was cotton candy, right? And it was fun and it's a mystery. And I figured it out round about, the end of the second act, figured it out, right?
Nicely done.
And I was feeling kind of proud of myself that I'd figured it out too, right? Okay. So my professor was not very happy with me that I had chosen The Mousetrap because it's so fluffy and whatever, right? And it's touristy, right? Okay. So I don't know how he did this, but he did. He planted somebody in one of the classrooms we had. It was actually my professor's son was on the trip with us, right? Mm-hmm. And we had one of the great theater critics from the London Times, I think, talk to us. And from the back of the room, I hear my professor's son say, "Hey, one of the things people are always telling me is you got to go see The Mousetrap when you're in London. What do you think about that?" And this critic just proceeded to eviscerate The Mousetrap. Just talked about how stupid it is, and that it's not a. And then the cherry on the sundae, he said, and it's really easy to figure out who did it too. Whatever. I still liked it, I was still proud of myself that I figured it out. Anyway,
there's this really fun show. Listeners may have heard it called "The Toast of London." Mm-hmm. It's a comedy, and in that play they do a spoof on The Mousetrap, because mm-hmm. as you said, The Mousetrap's been mm-hmm. going on for a very very long time. And he starts drinking some wine on the air and accidentally gives away the ending.
Oh, whoops!
so the whole season is ruined because he says it anyway.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's fun. So yeah, so that's playing now. There's another show, Nacirema Society. Nacirema is American backwards, mm-hmm. Which is a Southern kind of debutante mm-hmm. mm-hmm. comedy. It's supposed to be really, really fun. And then Cabaret is going to be playing this summer.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so we're going to see all of those. So check out the Guthrie. It's amazing. There's lots of great stuff. And they have their next season is available in terms of you can see what they're bringing in for next season.
Okay.
So lots of cool stuff. You were going to talk about...
Oh, yeah. I just want to mention real fast before we jump on to our next topic. Shakespeare in the Park.
Mm.
Admittedly, Shakespeare can be intimidating. And I think for all the wrong reasons. Right?
I agree.
The stories are universal to the human experience.
Yes.
That's why they keep going on and on and on. Everyone can relate to something in there.
Right.
Language is difficult, but I guarantee after 20 minutes of listening to it, your brain's going to weirdly figure it out.
And
you ever been to the opera?
Yeah.
Okay. The opera is never in English. Right?
Hardly ever.
Yep. And it is not tough to follow the story.
Right.
Very much the same way with Shakespeare.
Even, exact same thing. Even our girls have been going to what Cyrus is going to talk about here in a minute, and they catch on to the story just fine without having us explain. Yep.
Well, that's because if they're doing it right, and I've actually never seen a troupe do it wrong, they take the play and they do add in elements of modern times into it. So you can figure out what's happening why.
That's my favorite aspect of Shakespeare is you can set those plays at any time at all.
Yeah.
I saw I love Hamlet. Hamlet's my favorite play, right?
That's a good one.
I saw Guthrie do Hamlet many, many years ago where they had different characters from different time periods. Mixed thing. It was like Hamlet was dressed as Sting and black suit and black t-shirt. But like, you know, Polonius was a colonial general.
And it works.
Yeah.
And
it totally works.
So there are Shakespeare in the Park productions that go around. Outstanding. You just show up.
Yeah, so the one that we love is the Actors Ensemble, I think
it is.
Yes,
I think that's the one, yeah.
They do a Shakespeare in the Park. They pick a play, and they play it all summer at different parks throughout the Twin Cities. They have some afternoon performances. They have some evening performances. It goes from, like, mid-July to mid-August. Mm. But it's, like, there's a whole – and they have some weekday ones and some weekend ones. And you do need tickets for it, I believe, but they're very easy to get. We always make an event of it. We go and get a picnic, and we set our chairs up, and it's outside, which is really fun. And they do an excellent job, really minimal sets because it's outside in a park.
Sneak the wine in your coffee cooler.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
I've seen it done.
Yeah.
I've seen it done.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But really awesome. The Shakespeare in the Park through Actors Ensemble is really, really good. We go every year. We bring the girls with us. They look forward to it. Winona also does a Shakespeare festival every summer.
Yes, they do.
So that's another one. You can go see a bunch of Shakespeare in one weekend. Also a really cool opportunity.
So much
to see for theater. So lots and lots of cool stuff. We need to take a break, though.
Quick break before we jump into the mailbag. Let's talk to our friends over at Content.
Let's go talk to Jessica Peterson-White right now. So now I am fortunate enough to spend a little time with Jessica Peterson White of Content Bookstore, the our beloved sponsor here at Geeking Out. Good morning, or well, it's not morning where people are listening, but where you and I are sitting, it's sort of morning. So, yeah. Hello, Jessica. How's that?
Hi. How are you, Rich?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm great. You're doing well?
I am. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Good. How's life over at the Content?
It's great. We're having a great time. You know, it's springtime. A lot of people are coming to town to visit colleges and have a day trip to our beautiful historic downtown. We're getting into the swing of spring and it feels great.
It's my favorite season. Absolutely.
It's pretty delightful.
Yes, absolutely. But you've got a big deal coming up on Saturday, don't you?
We do, yes. This coming Saturday, April 26th, is Independent Bookstore Day, which is actually a nationwide celebration that started a little over a decade ago. This is our 11th Indie Bookstore Day. I think nationwide it's the 12th or 13th Indie Bookstore Day. So it's just a chance for people all across the country to celebrate their love of independent bookstores and the important role that we play in our communities and in the literary world. And it's just kind of a big day-long party at the store. And it's a blast. So we're open regular hours, April 26th, and we'll have all kinds of cool stuff. We'll have a little craft activity for kids and families, or really anybody who likes little craft activities. Where you can tell us about your favorite books. We'll have some prize drawings. We have some really cool tote bags that you get as a giveaway with a purchase of $50 or more.
Which for anyone interested in going to bookstore day, that ain't going to be nothing.
It's not hard. It's not hard to spend $50.
Right. It's really
A big deal for Indie Bookstore Day is that there's always some exclusive. There are some exclusive releases. There are usually some books. There's some fun swag. We'll be doing an unboxing of that in a few days. Actually tomorrow when this airs, we'll be doing the unboxing. So then if people want to hop on our socials, they can see what the exclusives are. But, some of those are really exciting and really limited editions, so they can be very collectible for some of our customers. One of my favorite things that we do for Indie Bookstore Day is, we work with Libro FM, which is our audiobook provider. Mm-hmm. And for folks who don't know about Libro FM but are big audiobook fans, it's great to know about. It's a wonderful alternative to Audible. As you may know, Audible is owned by Amazon. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing from a lot of people right now that they are trying to move away from Amazon a little bit. And so Libro is a really great way to do that. And it's a really great platform where you can set up an account. There's a really great app that actually I like a lot better than the Audible app, just in terms of functionality and usability. They have incredible selection for downloadable audiobooks that you can listen to on your phone, on your iPad, on whatever device you use for digital audiobooks. And they work with independent bookstores. So every time somebody buys an audiobook or a subscription through our little corner of Libro FM, we, you know, get a little kickback from that. And so it's a way that you can, you know, feed your audiobook habit, get things a little faster than you might get them if you're waiting for them from the library.
Yeah.
and, you know, benefit your local independent bookstore instead of helping a billionaire build a spaceship, if that's, you know, of interest to you.
I love how you put it so succinctly. I mean, it's
I mean, not to put too fine a point on it.
Black and white. There it is.
We all vote with our dollars, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And you know, each one of these small choices helps keep an independent bookstore in the community. And 100%. You know, every small business we have in the community makes Northfield stronger and better. So, so what we do, this is a very long-winded way of saying what we do with Libro FM is they send us a golden ticket for Independent Bookstore Day, and we hide it somewhere in the store.
Oh.
And whoever finds it, this is maybe the third or fourth year we've done this. Sometimes it takes like 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes 6 hours for the golden ticket to be found. Whoever finds it gets 12 free audiobooks, an entire year's subscription, basically, to Libro FM. So it's
scour your
It's
store.
Really worth looking for. Yeah. It's a fun little hunt, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are other great things about Libro FM. The audiobooks that you get from Libro are DRM free, meaning that they're actually, once you buy them, they're actually yours. A lot of audiobook files from other platforms like Audible like you pay for them, but you can't actually share them. Mm-hmm. And now Audible is actually like expiring audiobooks. So you buy them and really you're just renting them because they don't let you keep them forever. And with Libro FM,
for me. Yeah.
No, I know. Right. It just kind of keeps you beholden to the empire, which you don't need to be.
Right.
So Libro doesn't do that. And so you can download your files. You can share them with your friends just like you would a print book. So
that's cool.
It's really great. It's a really great platform. And it's a good way to get introduced to that. And they're also running a special right now where if you open a new Libro FM account, you get a couple of free audiobooks too.
Can you loan one to a friend and expect to never get it back?
Exactly. Yes, you can. Okay. You can. Just as you can with your copy of The Hobbit.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I think I purchased 4 copies of Graham Parsons' biography.
Oh, yeah. And you just, I mean, we could do a bulk order for you, Rich. Yeah. And you could just have like a stack of them to hand out.
A distributor. Exactly.
We have customers who do that, who just, they have a favorite book and they give it to every new hire or they give it to every new friend they make. They're you want to know me? You got to read this book.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I have to apologize to you because we made a big, big deal on this radio station about Independent Record Store Day.
Well, Record Store Day is amazing.
It is. It's fantastic. I was somewhat unaware of Independent Bookstore Day. Had I known, we'd have made a bigger deal about this around here, too.
Yeah, well, it's happening. Yeah. We're making a big deal about it now. Well, it's a totally cool thing. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about it all week. Awesome. I love things like this because I agree with the notion that independent bookstores are vital. To you know, the literary world, no question, but to a town like Northfield, a bookstore like yours, like Content, is so important. And it's more than just, very much like Verbena Vinyl, actually.
Yeah.
It's more than just a place to go buy your stuff. It's a place to congregate. It's a place to have conversation. It's a place to learn some stuff. And you've got such a wonderful store.
Thank you.
That it's, you know, it's a place people want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm coming.
Yeah, Indie Bookstore Day is great. And it's, you know, there are bookstores all across the Twin Cities and, you know, down in Owatonna. A lot of folks will come do like a little bookstore road trip for the day.
Nice.
So we get people in from out of town who are visiting and and it's a great time. We'll have a festive atmosphere and all kinds of cool stuff to do all day. We're doing bookseller profiles on our social media accounts all week. So if you want to get to know the amazing people who work at Content, you can check those out, find out about their favorite books and all kinds of things like that.
The way you're marketing that is just, it's brilliant. I love that.
Well, my employee Emma and my employee Ellie deserve all the credit for that in their genius.
All right.
So it's we're pretty lucky to have some pretty smart, clever people working at the bookstore.
I don't know Ellie, but I do know Emma, and the fact that it's this brilliant work comes from her does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is happening this month?
So we've got a pretty awesome spring events lineup. We've got many author events almost one a week, I think, through April and May. People can find all the details on those on our website at www.contentbookstore.com. And also on our social media accounts, obviously. So this is going to air on the 21st, right? So if you're listening the day this airs, on April 22nd, we're having a little launch party for the new Emily Henry book. I have to tell people, Emily Henry will not be there. She's a really big deal author. Maybe someday she'll come to Content, but right now we're just celebrating the release of her new book. We'll have some cool swag, signed copies of the new book. April 23rd, we have Peter Guy, who's a huge Minnesota favorite novelist who's got a new book out that just came out this past week.
He was just on Art Zany with Paula.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. I love Peter. Then coming up in May, we've got
some other really cool stuff
that we've got an author named Lisa Greensfelter on May 1st, another great Minnesota author Frank Burris on May 8th with a really interesting book about the Mississippi River, a poetry night with local poets Susan Jarrett McKinstry and Becky Bowling on May 15th. So, and there's always new stuff popping up, so people should just check that out. And remember that all of our events, unless, you know, on rare occasions we do a ticketed event, but unless otherwise posted, they're all free and open to the public, and you're welcome to just come on down and hang out. And you know, we hold that space for authors because we want them to connect with our community, and it's we do see that as a big part of our role, is to be a third place for people.
Absolutely.
And we are for a lot of folks, whether that means they stop in once or twice a year, or if they make a weekly appointment with themselves to come browse the new releases. And it's a really we really cherish that relationship with our customers, and it's fun to have a chance to celebrate it on Indie Bookstore Day.
Okay, so totally putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
We are on Geeking Out this month. We're talking about our love of theater.
Yes.
Yes, which we, the three of us, share a deep love of theater. How would our love of theater translate to shopping at a content bookstore?
Well, if you're a local theater lover, in the next couple months, you should for sure know that St. Olaf is going to do is putting on a production of The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane, which is based on a wonderful middle grade novel by Kate DiCamillo that is beloved to all of us at Content.
Nice.
So that's a fantastic pick. And it's definitely one of those books that even, you know, if you have kids, you can read it aloud with the kids in your life, or just honestly, it's a great read for a grown up too. Mm-hmm. You can fly through it before that production pops up at St. Olaf, which I think is the first weekend in May, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Mandy's, if she hasn't already talked about that on the show, she is going to. So,
yeah. Well, we're all very excited about that. Yeah, and I guess you should know too, we have a drama section. We have a TV and film section. Our drama section is... we'll feature new plays there sometimes. We'll always have the classics on the shelf. If you really feel like reading a script, we've got it for you.
Cool.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of where readers and theater fans intersect is in like reading about theater, film, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And reading about music, which often relates to other things that happen on the stage.
Indeed.
And I really enjoy buying for those sections at the store. It's always, we've got a lot of readers who are really interested in sort of, you know, thinking and reading, learning about all different kinds of performance. And there are always really interesting new books coming out about all those things.
I have a deep love of Shakespeare.
And,
but that doesn't mean that I speak the language, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I know that I'm going to see a Shakespeare play that I maybe haven't seen for a while, or maybe have never seen,
mm-hmm.
I always like to go and grab the book, and read the play, just so I can sort of prepare myself a little bit. And
absolutely.
I mean, I would imagine all of that is available.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It absolutely is. And if you're looking for some obscure script, we can probably order that in for you too.
Cool.
And things come really quick. Yeah, I do the same thing with Shakespeare because sometimes, I mean, some of those plays I've seen enough times that I remember what's happening.
Right.
But then they're like The Tempest. Every time I see it, I'm like, what is going on here?
Exactly.
This plot doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's really entertaining, but I like to be prepared so that I can keep track of what's going on.
I'm like that with Twelfth Night. Doesn't matter how many times I see Twelfth Night.
I mean, The Tempest and Twelfth Night, like, the plots don't actually really make a lot of
sense. They just run all over the place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's hard to follow for a reason.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. But we love it anyway, don't we?
Well, yes, we do. Absolutely. So, is there anything else we should know about Content this month?
You know, come on down for Independent Bookstore Day.
Yeah.
I think that's my key message.
Yeah.
And, stop in that Saturday. It's going to be a great time. I'm sure downtown Northfield will be hopping all that weekend. It's going to be beautiful weather, I'm sure, because it always is.
Yeah.
And come on in and see us and see what kind of cool stuff we've got in store.
Absolutely. Now, your regular hours are?
We are open 7 days a week, Rich. We're open from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We're open late on Thursdays until at least 8, unless we have an author event. Then often we're open later.
Okay.
And then Sundays we're open 11 to 5.
Okay.
And you can shop online at contentbookstore.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And our entire inventory is listed there live in real time. So if you're just like, hey, I wonder if they have this book on the shelf, you can go find out there. If you want to buy it on the website, then you can do that and we'll hold it for you and you can just swing by and pick it up, which a lot of our customers do, or you can just go browse and see what's there so you can mentally prepare yourself to shop in the store.
I love that.
Or if you really don't want to leave your house, you can shop online and we'll ship stuff to you or do it for pickup.
I don't need to mentally prepare myself to shop in your store. What I need to do is mentally prepare myself to walk back out again. Okay. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rich.
We're all right. back.
All right, I just want
We're
to back. Before we jump into the mailbag, I just went out there. Tom's got everything all set up. It's good.
I thought that's what all that clanking was.
He has all these really interesting, like self-made labels for the bottles that he's getting.
Oh, cool.
He does a great job.
He does a great job.
He's a graphic artist in his spare time.
Well, that would explain what's going on there because it looks like it really is him writing Godzilla. And one of those, it's fantastic.
I don't know where this man finds the time to do all the things.
Me either. I don't think he sleeps.
I'm fairly certain he's independent wealthily. Well, I don't know how he does it.
It's good to be Tom Wisleydale. Wisleydale, yes.
It's good to know Tom.
It's good to know Tom. Yes. All right, so let's make sure we watch the time here so we have time for Tom. But first, let's go ahead and jump into the mailbag. Again, we always welcome folks to go ahead and send in any comments, suggestions, and questions. Yeah,
because we love reading them. Send them to?
Good grief. Have we figured that out yet? Right now, they've just been sending them to my email address on
I mean, if you don't mind, I don't mind. I think they should just be sending it
to where are they sending it to?
Fathergeek.com. Go over there and hit the contact us, and they can just send it in right
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right. So
Rich is going to read our questions.
So go ahead, Rich.
Dear Father Geek, Mama Geek, and Rich the Geek. My family just finished listening to your last Geeking Out podcast. Great stuff. I have to ask, will Tom ever be able to make an appearance? My family cannot wait to hear from him. Neither can I. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we'll get a chance the next time we listen to you on the radio and podcast. I would just like to interject that I hope that we are able to save enough time to get Tom.
We've
got to
make it a
today.
Priority.
Like it's got to be a big
deal.
Dude,
it's beer out there.
Right.
We're going to make the time.
You know, we can't drink beer on the air, though. You know that, right?
That's okay.
That might be true.
All right. Now for the question. It's about time to start planting and getting ready for our gardening.
Sure enough.
Two of my three kids are old enough to help this year, and I would very much like them to do so. What small gardening projects do you recommend for the kids? I want them to feel like they have their own thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a great question.
Looking forward to your thoughts. Keep up the great work. Three cheers for Tom. That's from Todd M. in Indiana.
Excellent. Good.
Thank you, Todd.
I have a bunch of ideas.
All right, go ahead. You start
all right.
First.
So we don't do a big garden. It's too much work. Mm. I have a CSA for that. But I do like to plant flowers. And so we do flowers every year. And a small flower pot is an amazing way to get kids involved in planting. Mm. So you can take them with you to the garden center. You have them, they can pick either, if you have a bunch of pots at home, you can have them pick out a pot, or you can pick one out at the garden center and then have them pick out what flowers they want, what they're kind of looking for. And then get them in the dirt with you. Like have them fill their pot with dirt, have them plant, show them how to take the flowers out of the little container that they come in. And rough up those roots and get them planted. And then they're responsible for watering them, which is plants are a commitment for the whole summer. You have to make sure that you're watering them regularly. And so I feel like flower pots are a great way to get started in terms of planting with kids.
Yeah.
Do you guys, what do you?
Oh, I agree. You can also, if you want to spend just a little bit more money and time on it, you can build little fairy gardens. Have you seen these?
Yep.
You buy little fairy houses and little toadstools. And so you can put all the plants in there and then add a little cottage.
Oh, cool.
And it makes it look like, cool, well, this is where a fairy lives. And that's a lot of fun for additional imagination. That's a great idea. I also like pots a great deal, except instead of flowers, I like to do things that I can eventually eat.
Yes.
One of the projects that I have, really big for me for this year, is I'm going to be making my first hot sauce. We're going to see how that goes. But I also have one of my daughters really likes tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be giving her a pot. Mm-hmm. And she's going to get to choose her own tomato variety, and then she will be in charge of making sure that grows, and then she gets to eat anything that comes out of it.
Yep, she's also in charge of harvesting, which is
Understand the whole process. Rich, you got any suggestions?
Only that you want to make it interesting, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I am not a gardener at all, but garden gnomes. I've actually, this is not for kids by any stretch of the imagination, but I have come across some very inappropriate garden gnomes.
Yes.
Oh, right? Yes. Right? There's no end to the fun.
They're
you can
hilarious,
put in
right? Yeah. But anyway, that's.
Yep.
That's
have you ever seen the book How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack?
No.
Oh my gosh, we'll have to bring it in.
Bring that
in
sometime.
So it's this really funny kind of tongue-in-cheek book about what garden gnomes are actually trying to break into your house and attack you.
Yep.
And how you can protect yourself against a garden gnome attack. So
I love that.
Really funny book. We found it in a random store down in Red Wing or something.
Yeah, it was in Red Wing.
A content should get this in. It's really funny.
Okay.
But yes, so amazing book. Very
great.
Funny.
Awesome.
Doesn't have anything to do with gardening. Doesn't. But,
so yeah. I think the general collective geeky minds here suggest, Todd, that you definitely start small, but give them something that is totally their own.
Yeah.
A small pot is an incredible way to do it. It's very portable. It's very easy to dump at the end of the season and just go put somewhere in the back of your garage or in the back of the house. Have the kids pick out their own pot. Have the kids pick out their own plants.
Yeah, and I strongly encourage you to have them involved in the whole process. Have them pick out the pot. Have them come with you to the garden center and see all the different varieties of plants and have them pick stuff out. We have three pots right out in front of our house, and our daughters both get one of them, and I get the middle one. And so, like, they'll come with me and be involved, and those are their flowers. And just get them involved and have them involved in the whole process. Have them make sure that they're taking care of the flowers or the plants or the tomatoes or whatever. And just a great way to get everybody involved. Get them dirty.
All right. So that's what we suggest. Definitely go out there. Get your own little deal. I also strongly suggest that you don't buy seeds. Buy the actual plants.
It's a lot simpler. You can get to seeds eventually. Yeah. Get to seeds eventually with the kids, but not a great place to start.
All right. Very good. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm super excited because
we have more time.
Yeah.
We have more. This is outstanding. All right. Manny, why don't you go out real fast and go get Tom. Rich, I can't wait.
I'm super excited about this.
This is going to be super exciting.
I'm geeking out.
Yeah. All right. Oh, guys.
What?
So, I went out there to get Tom. Tom and Karsten apparently are pretty good buddies, and both of them are fast asleep, and all the beer is gone.
What?
So,
you gotta be kidding me.
Hold on.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna go out and take a look.
Hold on. Yeah, it's, it's not, yeah.
Tom.
Nope. So, sorry, everybody. Tom's not going to be on this time.
Karsten's going to have some splaining to do.
This is the last time we let Tom bring beer.
Yeah.
He'll have to do something else next time.
Maybe just leave Tom the car. All right.
Okay.
Fine.
So, I'm sorry, everybody. No Tom Wensleydale this time. But we'll bring him on next month. I'm sure he'll have something really cool to do for us next month. He always has something different.
He might
have
to go away for 29 days first.
Something like that. But anyway, this was a great episode. What's our side quest?
Side quest. Again, the side quest is right before we have you folks go off to all the fun things that you'll do every single day. We ask you to invite yourself to have one little adventure. This time, we'd like to have you go see a play.
Yes.
Yep. Ideally, something local. Go out there. If you haven't gone to a play in a long time, what a fantastic time to do it.
Right.
Because Sarah said you should. Why not? So, go again, as Mandy, very well. All that work really paid off, baby. Good job.
Thank you.
There's lots of different ways to go support your local theater. Go have fun with local theater, national theater, free theater. Oh, so wonderful here in Minnesota. So many different ways. So go out and do that.
Go see a play.
Go see a play.
Go and support your local community theater. Go support something up in the cities. Go see something that you've never heard of. Go see something that you have heard of a whole bunch of, but you're going to see a new take on it.
But you've never heard or you've never seen.
You've never seen it. Or something you have seen before, but you've never seen this version of it.
Well, every production of every play is different.
Is different.
It is.
Yeah. So go see a show. Talk about it with your friends. Bring a friend. Experience it together.
Bring your kids.
Introduce them to theater. Absolutely. Introduce them to how to be a good theater audience member, which is important.
Yeah.
So that's our side quest.
Excellent.
Go see something cool.
Definitely do it. All right. Well, that will do it for this month's episode of Geeking Out. We are so happy that you joined it. We look forward for you joining us next month, where we'll be talking about the food of love, also known as Music. Yes. Also
play
music.
On.
Play on.
So
play
until next time, this has been Cyrus.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Rich.
Keep geeking out, folks. Be well.